broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass. And when we say we go through the looking glass, basically what we do is we turn reality on its head sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And why?
Because they suck.
Thank you, bud. Because they suck?
That's how you wrote it.
I guess that's the new... Okay, that's our new slug line. And why? Because they suck. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much for joining us on our program this evening. And don't forget to join us on our website at philhendryshow.com for our live streaming video of the show, our video cast each and every night, Phil TV in HD, where you can see me right now sitting, looking like a smug ass, wearing shades. And, you know, Robert.
Yeah, well, a lot of people want to know why you're wearing sunglasses at night. They think you think you're hot or something. Like, you think you're Richard Melzer or something?
Do I think I'm Richard Melzer? No, I don't. I think that, let me tell you why I'm wearing sunglasses. We have two really bright lights here. I sleep in the daytime. And sometimes wearing sunglasses helps to mute all of the brightness, and you can concentrate. And that's what's happening over these last few days. I wore them, I think, on the air on KFI's on the KFI show. It doesn't mean I think I'm cool, Richard Melzer.
Yeah, a lot of people think you're cool or something.
Okay, so have we figured that one out, that no, I don't think I'm cool? This is, if you want to put a name on it, it's therapeutic. You know?
What's that mean?
It means, in other words, I need it. It's therapeutic. It's almost, it's not medicinal, but it is something that is needed to help me do the show. All right, that's all I want to say about that. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on WKRS in the great city of Chicago, which is where we were last week, this time last week, I think, for the NAB. And also WGTN in the fun city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Two of our great affiliates here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, not to put, and later on in the program, there's a couple of things we want to mention. Harvey Wireman, who is an attorney from San Marino, California, is going to join us. I'd like him to weigh in on the Troy Davis execution, but my understanding is there's a class action lawsuit of some kind. I think it's directed at me.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding, and we're going to talk with him about that. Margaret Gray will be joining us later on to talk about X Factor. I saw a little bit of this show, as I mentioned during the pre-show on the Phil TV and HD pre-show. So if you have a backstage pass, you can see us talking before the show and spilling all kinds of filth and dirt and private stuff about people that you'll never hear me talk about on the air. I'm just kidding about that, but not, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, something like tonight when you said...
Can you just shut up, please? Thank you. So the, anyway, I forget what I was going to say. Thanks a lot, bud.
Why don't you shut up, man? I didn't know you were trying to remember something.
I'm talking here, man. You're butting in. I'm talking. Margaret Gray is going to join us. X Factor, that's what I was going to tell you. X Factor was on the air tonight. X Factor is Simon Cowell's new show. X Factor, apparently, according to sources, needs to pull 20 million viewers. Otherwise, Simon Cowell, and I'm kidding, but, you know, not that much. Otherwise, Simon Cowell is going to leap out of a window from about five floors up. Apparently, he has been quoted as saying, or the word is, he wants to equal the numbers of American Idol. Or maybe that isn't such a big showbiz secret. I don't know. I mean, Simon Cowell was on American Idol. He's left that show. He now has his new show, X Factor. He wants it to equal in number American Idol, or he's going to leap headfirst from a window five floors up.
You kidding?
Yes, I am kidding. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with us right now, though, is Professor Emory Clayton. He's at L.A. Canyon College in the northern environs of Los Angeles County. We're going to talk here about the execution of Troy Davis. It happened yesterday in Georgia. Mr. Davis was executed after a stay, or at least a temporary halt of the scheduled execution was effected by repeated appeals to the United States Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court decided to hear this yet again. And I think the situation last night vis-a-vis the U.S. Supreme Court had more to do with a couple of, I hate to be so trivial when we're talking about, even if it is a man who's convicted of murder, when we're talking about a person's life, I hate to be trivial, but it was kind of housekeeping stuff. And have we missed anything? I think there's some information that we didn't look at, and let's look at it, et cetera, et cetera. So joining us is Emery Clayton. And I forgive me, Professor Clayton, I don't know a lot about this case, and it kind of crept up on me. I tried to do as much reading as I could yesterday. Of course, I was getting a lot of opinions.
Phil, that is all right, because the case has been a very controversial case, because the death penalty advocates, individuals who want to use the death chamber as a form of deterrent, even though you know as well as I do, know it's not a deterrent, and that the death chamber, the death penalty in this country, still marks us as a country that is decidedly with one leg in the 19th century. There's no civilized nation on earth other than the United States of America that has the death penalty. And then you put on top of that the facts of this case, and the facts of the Troy Davis case, Phil, are such that this man was convicted on hearsay evidence. He was convicted on no evidence at all, and there was enough reasonable doubt that this man should have been acquitted and should have been set free. And not only did that not happen, but he remained in prison through appeal after appeal after appeal. And then yesterday, the state of Georgia, and understand that if you are an African-American in the United States and you are forced to say the word Georgia, you almost want to spit it out of your mouth because of the history that that state, the place that that state holds in the history of this country vis-a-vis African-Americans.
Well, don't you, can we just hold up for a minute? Don't you think that that's a little bit unfair, given the fact...
Why would you call that unfair? Do you know the history of Georgia?
Given the fact that that is Martin Luther King's hometown, given the fact that there is a memorial to Dr. King there, given the fact that Atlanta today is considered to be one of the prime examples of a modern American city that has a burgeoning black middle class... they've had a succession of African-American mayors who built Hartsfield International Airport. I mean, the business community of Atlanta has been relatively successful. Don't you think that's a little bit unfair?
You're talking about, first of all, Phil, I would say to you, and I, with all due respect, you're a white man and you're trying to tell me my business. You know,
what does that mean, I'm a white man and I'm trying to tell...
Hold on for just a minute. I'm not doubting a lot of what you say. I know that Dr. King comes from there. I'm telling you, you're talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about the whole state of Georgia. Now, you know as well as I do, and it has been said many times, that Atlanta is an island in a sea of dump. Now, you've heard that, and...
Well, I don't... Again, unfair.
You told me that. Don't tell me unfair, because I tell you what, right now, I'm putting the white-hot spotlight on you. You told me that, didn't you?
I told you that that was some of the jokes and stuff that I heard. Yes, sir. I did.
Atlanta, I want to again remind you of what you said. Atlanta is an island in a sea of dumb. You also said to me that it was common knowledge in Atlanta. Common knowledge in Atlanta. That you tried not to go out to Bubba Land, as you put it. You don't go out to Bubba Land. You stay in the city. Isn't that what you said?
You know, that's what I said. You just got done telling me... As a Caucasian or a European or a white man, I shouldn't tell you your business.
I'm not asking you to tell me my business. I'm asking you if you said to me that you had heard, living in Atlanta, that you never, ever go out to Bubba Land after 6 o'clock at night.
I never heard after 6 o'clock. I heard people say, don't go out to Bubba Land because Atlanta's this great city and Bubba Land is Bubba Land, you know. But I got to tell you something.
You don't add to it, because that's exactly what you told me. And
where are you, by the way? You on a train or something?
I beg your pardon?
Are you on a train?
No, sir. I'm at a Metrorail station right now. I'm not on a train, picking my car up. And I'm on my way home.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry if it's noisy, Bill. Once I get to my car, it's going to quiet down a little bit.
All right. We're talking to Professor Emery Clayton here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. All right, let's get to Troy Davis, and let's get to this case. You said to me that this man was convicted on hearsay evidence, that there was plenty of reasonable doubt, and that this man being put to death is a, you know, you were very, I think, you know, I don't think there's any fooling around, or there's no doubt in your words that, you know, the state of Georgia, this doesn't surprise you, you know, because, quote unquote, black people spit the name Georgia out of their mouths. Now, whether or not that's true.
Whether or not that's true, are you in a position to tell me that it's not true?
No, I didn't say that. I said whether or not that's true.
What does that mean, though?
There may be some African-American listeners of mine that would disagree with you.
Well, I think that you planting that seed in the mind of any listener, naturally you're going to get some people that are going to want to call up and say, yes, Mr. Henry, I agree with you, because then maybe you give them a baseball cap or you give them a...
No, that's not. I think you undersell the intelligence of the audience. Let's get to what you're talking about. Troy Davis, this man who was convicted of murdering an off-duty police officer... who had stopped to help some people, and Mr. McPhail, and was fingered initially by witnesses, and I understand that some of them recanted.
Let's cut through it. Let's cut through it.
Well, can you verify those facts?
I'm not fooling around with a lot of gobbledygook and a lot of nonsense. I want to tell you this. Troy Davis was a young black man targeted by the system because, in the words of Hurricane Carter, any black man will do. I don't know if you saw that movie, Hurricane, but that's what Hurricane Carter said. The cop said, we're looking for two black males. He said, will any two do? You understand that? So that's very powerful. And Troy Davis was sent to the death house yesterday because this young man was targeted by a system that has been putting black men to death for centuries. Now,
yeah, but can you give me
a... Hold on for just a minute. Now, you want me to give you a lot of specifics about this case. I don't want to get into a lot of gobbledygook. What I'm trying to tell you, and I'm trying to educate you and your listeners, is this. Troy Davis was an innocent man. And I've heard an awful lot of people say that innocent people don't go to the death house in this country. Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, they do. Troy Davis is proof.
And yeah, but how do you know that?
What do you mean, how do I know that? Do you see the people? Do you see the people talking about this? The people that were on Twitter that I'm looking at, the people that are on Facebook that I'm looking at, the people in Europe, all over the world, people are saying that he's innocent. So how can you doubt that?
And I can doubt it this way. People all over the world said Roger Coleman was innocent.
Who is Roger Coleman?
Roger Coleman was a West Virginia coal miner that was convicted for raping and murdering his sister-in-law. And he swore up and down he was innocent, and everybody and their mother said he was innocent, and he was on the cover of Time magazine because they said he was innocent, and everybody... And then when they finally did check the DNA, this guy was as guilty as sin.
Did they finally put him to death?
They put him to death before.
So they put him to death without even knowing what the DNA evidence was.
They didn't need the DNA. This man was convicted in the times before there was any DNA testing that was effective. So they were going on good old-fashioned police work. They didn't just go, can somebody take me to the DNA so we can wrap this up? No. They didn't do that.
Well, you say no. I say that they should have had some DNA testing there.
All right, well, hold on. We're with Professor Emery Clayton. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Troy Davis case, but it was extremely controversial. He was executed in Georgia yesterday, and there are lots and lots of people who think the guy was innocent, and they're basing that on a great deal of stuff that I have to familiarize myself with because I'm not familiar with the case. But that's why we have Emery Clayton on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You were saying to your... I never talk to people like that.
Hey, I was telling my staff something about processing. Okay, don't worry about it, Professor. It's none of your business. You tell me there's certain things that are none of my business. I'm talking about staff, about equipment, and about...
Yes, but you were telling these guys, you got to listen to me and all this, talking to them like you're Adolf Hitler or something. And Philip, let me tell you, you're right. You do know your own business. But I know the history of black people in this country, and Troy Davis was put to death, an innocent man.
All right, give me the reasons why you think he's innocent.
The reason why I think he's innocent is because if you look at the situation, if you look at this man, and he was accused of shooting someone who was helping some people, is that my understanding?
Yes, Mr. McPhail.
Who was that?
Mr. McPhail was a police officer, off-duty police officer.
And you don't think that the case was prejudiced by the fact this man was an off-duty police officer?
Hold on for just a minute. All I'm asking you, Professor Clayton, all I'm asking you is this. Why do you think Troy Davis is an innocent man? Why do you think Troy Davis, or was...
Yes, was is right, because the man was put to death last night.
I understand that. Why do you think an innocent man was put to death?
Well, I believe an innocent man was put to death in the state of Georgia. And again, you don't want me to say what I said, so I won't say it. But I don't think there's an American, white or black, that hears the name Georgia and a chill doesn't go down your spine. A feeling of fear and revulsion. Georgia. I mean, the image of a chain gang. The image of I died a thousand deaths. The image of they made me a criminal. You know the book, The Man That Went Down There. He was a white man, but nonetheless, the Georgia chain gang. I think that image is always going to be in our minds.
But what does that have to do with Troy Davis?
I'm getting to it. What it has to do with Troy Davis is the following thing. Troy Davis, you're asking me what?
I'm asking you, why do you think he was innocent?
He was innocent because he's black. All right.
Are black guys guilty in this country?
Are black guys guilty in this country? What does that mean, are black guys guilty in this?
Are there people who are guilty in this country who are black?
Are there people who are guilty in this country who are black? The answer, in terms of what?
In terms of the criminal code of the states, the federal criminal code.
Yes, I think that there have been. All right. I don't think as many are as guilty as have been put to death. I don't think that that's possible. I just don't think it's possible. Now, but you're asking me...
I'm asking you about this one specific case.
All right, this one specific case. Why is Troy Davis guilty? Or why was he not guilty is the point. You got me a little bit confused, Phil.
And I apologize. Why do you think he was not guilty?
I think he was not guilty because of a lot of things, a variety of things that went into my thinking. And you can go, you can start anywhere you want. There are so many things that speak to this man being innocent that you almost don't know where to start.
And we'll start with one.
I can start with two or three. I can start with four. I can start with 10 if you want me to. You know, but
no, just start with one or two of why you think that Mr. Davis was innocent, this man who was put to death yesterday.
I think that he was innocent. And the reason why I think he was innocent, if you think about it, look at all the people that were standing outside that prison. Look at all the people that were petitioning. Look at Pope Benedict. Look at this other man. I think it was a white man, Bob Barr. Bob Barr is a conservative.
But you're telling me about... Give me reasons.
I'm giving you... If you'll hold on, I'm going to give you the reason. You have to hold on, Phil. The reason why I think... I'm not familiar with the case as much. You want a lawyer's account, or what do you want? I'm a professor of urban studies. All right?
Well, if you're not familiar with the case... one of the things I don't get is... People are talking about this man's innocence. And I understand that there are people who strongly believe that he was innocent. But I'm trying to get a real answer to this question.
Why? What do you think you haven't gotten a real answer?
Well, I'm getting people telling me the following thing. People recanted, and I understand that. I also know that an appeals court reviewed this, that the United States Supreme Court reviewed this. What I'm getting here is it's now begun to snowball to a point where people are beginning to repeat other people's stories about this. They're not taking into consideration that there was a review by the Supreme Court, not one, but two. They're not taking into consideration that the court has looked at this record many times. They're repeating a lot of the original charges. They're repeating a lot of the original claims.
All right. I've been listening enough to you. I mean, you're just repeating yourself. And
I'm repeating myself. The people that think that Troy Davis was innocent are repeating themselves. I want to just ask you this question. Why do you believe he was innocent?
I believe he was innocent
And yes, but why?
I told you. I can give you one reason. I can give you ten.
Give me one reason. Give me one reason why you think he was innocent.
Well, I think that Troy Davis was innocent because you have a system, Phil, that is... every time I look at the system that we have here in this country, all they do is...
All right, we got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. I'm trying to get to Professor Emery Clayton. Why do you think Troy Davis was innocent? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
I just want to get an answer from him. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, as we're talking about the execution of Troy Davis. Now, if you don't know the story, Mr. Davis was on death row in Georgia. Charged with the murder and convicted of murdering a off-duty police officer by the name of Mark McPhail. Thousands of outraged Americans flocked to social media to register their, quote, disgust. Celebrities like Martha Plimpton and Alec Baldwin tweeted about the case. An outcast artist, Big Boy, posted photos from outside the jail on his TwitPic account. Troy Davis' letter to Georgia and no evidence were all trending topics in the U.S. throughout the night. But all the angry tweets and online petitions did nothing to prevent Davis being executed at 23:08. That would be 11:08 local time in Atlanta, Georgia. Public anger over death row cases have a mixed record when it comes to winning stays of execution. In 1998, protests and extensive media coverage weren't enough to keep then-Governor George W. Bush from executing Carla Faye Tucker, a confessed but converted killer. Earlier this year, Mumia Abu-Jamal, convicted of murdering police officer Daniel Faulkner, had a sentence commuted from the death penalty to life in prison. The ability to turn the digital outrage over Davis into real-life action serves as a stark contrast. So anyway, did you see these tweets?
I'm very much aware of the outrage, Phil. I'm outraged. And you can see right there, you asking me where's my proof. Well, there's Martha Plimpton. There's Alec Baldwin. There are a number of people who are outraged over this case. And when I look at that and I see that Alec Baldwin and Martha Plimpton are outraged, then I hold that close to me. I can say, all right, Phil Hendry has me on his program tonight, and he is asking me these questions about the Troy Davis case, and I'm saying, look at this. You ask me, is he guilty? Isn't that what you asked me, Phil?
I asked you why you thought he was innocent.
Yes, and I'm telling you. Take a look at that. Martha Plimpton, Alec Baldwin.
But that's not...
What doesn't it do? What it does is it coalesces, it congeals, if you will. It solidifies the outrage of the American people and the people all over the world against this killing.
You haven't given me any reason why this guy is innocent. Okay? You haven't given me any reason at all.
I just told you, Phil, if you're listening to me, that the people of the world have spoken...
The people of the world have spoken what, via Twitter? Facebook?
No, I'm not saying Twitter and Facebook. You wanted me to give you a reason. And I said, I'll give you 10, 15. You said, just give me one.
That's right. Give me one reason why you feel that this man was innocent.
You keep saying is. You know he's dead, right?
Yes, I know he's dead. I apologize.
All right. Let me tell you why. I'll give you one reason. Look, the changes that have come to America's execution rates, and I'm just reading the news story right now, which have dropped by 50%.
Hold on for a minute. Have you even read this story?
Have I read what story?
Have you read the Troy Davis story?
I have read, Mr. Hendry, I've read as much of it as you have. I am as familiar with it. I'm more familiar with it than you are. I think it's a bit of an insult to say, have I read the story? We're living in a 21st... Here's a quote here. We're living in a 21st century communications infrastructure, but we're still governed by a 20th century political system. And this is Andrew Razi Faji. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's a Muslim founder of a personal democracy media. Now, that is a credible voice. And
that's a credible voice, but you don't know how to pronounce the guy's name.
Excuse me?
You say that that man is a credible voice in support of the innocence of Troy Davis, but you can't pronounce his name.
I absolutely could pronounce his name, sir, and I think that's, again, that's another insult that you've delivered to me. His name is Raji... Andrew, I lost my place.
Well, are you reading the news story?
I'm reading up on it, yes. I'm not reading to familiarize. I know enough about it. His name is Razijev. R-A-S-I-E-J. It's a Muslim or some kind of Arab.
He's the founder. I don't know his name either. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-7445. Bobby, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi.
I'm listening to this gentleman who is talking. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
This is Professor Emery Clayton.
Yes, Professor Clayton. I'm a mother and a wife, and I have three boys. In fact, I'm out driving with my husband right now. We're getting back to school supplies. I don't really operate in the world you operate in.
And what world is that, ma'am?
I'm sorry?
What world do I operate in, ma'am? Tell me, what world do I operate in?
Well, you seem to be familiar with much of the urban.
Yes, I'm a professor of urban studies.
Well, that's what I mean. You're very familiar with that environment. Is it possible, and my husband and I were talking about this, is it possible that, and my husband, Steve... When they say that black people look alike, and I know that's very antiquated.
Boy, that is a really, yeah, that's some old school.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Go ahead, ma'am. Because I think in many ways, while it is old school.
I just thought, does he look like another one?
Ma'am, I think that ordinarily I would be insulted by what you just said. Ordinarily, in fact, if I were face to face with you, I would have to resist violently assaulting you for saying you, and I know I'm paraphrasing, I know you didn't use...
No, I'm not saying that.
Hold on, Steve. I've got it, Steve.
Yes, Steve, she's got it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yes, I do got it. And
I'm glad you got it.
You know, this can go any way you want it to go, Professor. We can be friendly about it. I'll take it to any level. I'll go anywhere you want.
Well, I don't know what...
But look, let's calm it down, okay?
No, I'm calmed down, Phil. I don't like...
I heard you say, ma'am, that is it possible that Troy Davis is innocent because it looked like another black man? Is that what you said?
In so many words, yes.
All right. And I said to you that if this were any other case, I might be tempted to physically assault you because it sounded to me like you're saying you stove lids and...
She's not using a racial epithet like that, sir. Why do you go there?
I'm very hypersensitive. However, let me say this. Given the fact that it is coming at a time in this discussion that is fortuitous for me because Mr. Henry's asked me all these questions attempting to embarrass me... And
well, you don't have any answers, sir.
All I'm asking is...
You don't have any answers.
I have answers. You won't let me get a word in.
No, that's not the case. I asked you to give me one reason, and you wouldn't give me a reason.
Phil, if I could, is it possible, as I was saying, is it possible that Troy Davis, because a lot, and I'm going to be very... A lot of you do look alike, you know?
Yeah, I do.
What does that mean there? Whoa, hold the phone. Hold on. What does that mean, a lot of you look alike?
I'm trying to give you, Mr.
My name is Professor.
Professor, I'm trying to give you a little leverage in this discussion with Mr. Henry. So far, you have not really come up with any comments in defense of the innocence of Mr. Davis. So I'm trying to give you something.
All right. What are you trying to give me?
I'm going to be very honest. A lot of you look alike. So say to Mr. Henry, Mr. Davis is innocent because...
Mr. Henry, I think she makes a good point. And
oh, man.
Will you hold on, please?
Mr. Henry, please give him the opportunity.
Oh, man, I'm sitting here like I'm not even here, and you guys are discussing strategy in this discussion. Hey, why don't you just say this to Phil? You guys look alike.
Hold on for just a minute. Now, that is something that is a fact. That is a fact. that a lot of you people, and I say you people, I say that with respect, not the way that you would say to me, me people, or not me people, but my people. I say you people, you say that we look alike, don't you? Don't you?
No, I've never said it.
Whatever.
Well, I think you keep pushing that, okay?
I don't like having to push that angle, and I don't like having a woman calling from the suburbs of Los Angeles to tell me how to win a debate or a discussion on a radio station.
Jim, you're getting your ass handed to you.
And I don't like someone telling me I'm getting my ass. Who is that, Jim?
My husband, Steve. I've got it.
You got it, Steve.
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call, another phone call. Hang on the line, Bobby and Steve, and we'll just get as many people in as we can. Jack, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, I just want some facts, not blame cast on this situation. Facts to the innocence of Mr. Davis. That's it. Just facts.
I think that's a fair question, Professor.
All right, the gentleman wants facts. I'm going to give you facts. It is a fact that many times in the course of American jurisprudence as well as police investigation, that black people that tend to look alike to the white man. How do we know that the cop that arrested Troy Davis didn't look like some other, excuse me for saying this, sir, some other jungle bunny?
Boy, that is really unfair.
I think that's a very good point.
How do we know that, sir? How do we know that Troy Davis wasn't some an innocent man walking down the street and he said, well, let's just go bust him because I know it's a black guy. I don't know which guy it is.
I agree with that.
You know what? Go ahead, Jack. I don't think...
Was that brought up in his trial? I want to know the facts from the trial that convicted this man.
I think it should have been brought up in the trial, sir. That's what I'm saying. I think it should have been brought up in the trial, and it wasn't brought up in the trial.
You guys are reaching for any kind of answer or excuse. If it wasn't brought up in the trial, I don't think that was even brought up by his supporters. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Henry, I think you're being unfair. This gentleman asked me a fact. Well, it is a fact. It is a fact that blacks look the same to whites.
No, that's not a fact. That's not a fact.
That's not a fact. We don't teach
anywhere else.
Well, I know that they do to me. My husband and I are both white. I don't have any disrespect or racial. I don't have any racialism, but I do know.
Right there. See, that lady just said they do to her. We look the same to you.
A lot of you do, yeah.
Well, that's not a fact. That's not a fact from the trial. What Jack is talking about, facts from the trial. Facts from the trial. What's the trial record say? And, of course, we also know that the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court have reviewed this.
Well, you say the Supreme Court. Where did you get that cock and bull story, the Supreme Court?
Last night, there was a stay, at least, or a halt in the execution when the Supreme Court looked at it. All right, thanks very much, Jack. 877-876, and Bobby, thank you. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't think a lot of people do know the facts of this case. I think there's a hardcore group of activists who do, and naturally activists are going to be better educated as to the factual basis of anything. But in the case of Troy Davis, the activists that are active, if you'll pardon me for the redundancy there, are all pro-innocence. They're all in favor of this man's perceived innocence. And if there are activists on the side of convicting this man, we don't hear from them. What we are hearing is a lot of confusion, and a lot of people just don't know the answer. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7444. What is this? What? Yeah, Professor.
That lady gave me she says to me that we all look the same. I said to the man, I said, that's not a fact. Are you telling me that's not a fact?
From the trial.
The reason why you're discounting that is because I said Jungle Bunny. I know exactly.
Oh, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here with Professor Emery Clayton. And we're talking tonight about the case of Troy Davis, the man who was executed yesterday, a convicted murderer. A man executed in the state of Georgia, and suddenly an explosion of individuals who believed in his innocence, an explosion on social media, an explosion in on-air, I would imagine, discussions. Although I have to tell you something, I don't know how much of this was really of national import yesterday until we got closer and closer to the execution time. Were you aware of it, Professor?
Was I aware of what? Was I aware of Troy Davis?
Yeah.
You've got to understand something, Phil. I am an African-American male. I am a urban studies professor. I'm a collegian and an academician, a scholar in the history of my people, in the contemporaneous development of my people, the cultural and otherwise, as well as political. Now, if you'd ask me, was I aware of Troy Davis? My question to you is, where, you know, why would you even ask me that?
Because you haven't given me anything concrete in terms of...
I told you that I feel that he was convicted because black people look the same.
And nobody brought that, not even yesterday when I was reading all the debate that was going on. Did anybody bring up the fact that someone in the court or someone during the trial said, wow, this guy was... unfairly convicted because he looks like a million other black guys? I never even heard that.
What do you mean you never even heard that? Are you in the barbershops of South Central Los Angeles? I don't think so. Are you in the hair salons of Dominguez Hills and Compton? I don't think so. Are you in the hobby shops and the fast food restaurants? Are you in the liquor stores, and are you in all of the places there in Baldwin Hills? Are you in those places where black people gather and discuss in the restaurants and so forth and so on? And
no, I'm not. And by the way, that's not the only place where black folks live.
In L.A., you going to tell me Los Angeles, the most segregated city I've ever seen in my life? Got to tell me, Dave. And I'll tell you something else.
Were you discussing it yesterday?
I beg your pardon?
Were you discussing this case with your students yesterday?
I was going to discuss it. Hold on a minute. I was going to discuss it.
Why didn't you?
Because I had misplaced. There was a newspaper article about it. Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. You have you've insulted an awful lot of people tonight with your gobbledygook. And
you can say it's gobbledygook all you want, Professor, but you know, I asked some straight-ahead questions. I don't think I got answers to them.
What didn't I answer?
You said, I'll give you 10 reasons. I said, give me one, and you give me, he looked like another black guy. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Los Angeles. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Michael.
Yeah, the deal is that the facts of the people who are outraged about this execution are that there were three jurors who recanted and regretted their vote to convict this guy. And also, the police chief intimidated all the deputies and everyone that was involved. Now, that's just the facts that I've got. I'm not making a judgment.
Now, let me ask you a question. That's what was brought up as the proof that this man was innocent, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to help.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me.
Well, let me ask this question. The Supreme Court reviewed these facts yesterday, as they had once before, as well as a court of appeals. How does that get by the Supreme Court of the United States and a court of appeals?
I'm trying to tell you that's the white man's justice. That's the white man's justice.
And so you're boiling it all down to racism.
I'm not boiling it all down to racism. I'm saying that's just an example.
So in a modern American society with the communications that we have, a Supreme Court would risk a racist decision because they're just racist.
You got another caller on the line. Is that Michael, you there? This is Professor Clayton.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to shed some light on the facts of why
yes,
these
sir.
People are outraged.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
I'm not... Okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I want to hear from this man.
You want to hear from him?
My son's a college student at San Bernardino, Cal State. He and I were talking
yes, sir.
About this yesterday. And,
uh-huh.
all of this information I'm sharing with you is online, guys. It's not that I'm an expert on. I don't know. I tend to think that the Supreme Court would go over this with a fine-tooth comb.
That's what I would think.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
And I'm not saying either way. But I am saying that that's the facts, and I just wanted to try to help out and give everybody the facts.
Professor Clayton, why could you not have looked that up?
Why couldn't you?
You're my guest. You know?
I did. What do you mean, look it up? I don't need to look anything up. I'm very familiar with the case. I thank the gentleman for pointing that out to me, but I'm very capable. And
but you didn't bring up any of the things that Michael brought up.
Mister, your name is Michael. Are you a college professor, sir?
Absolutely not. I'm a chef.
Well, see, that... Look at that. He's a chef. Now, are you trying to tell me, and I love our working people, are you trying to tell me, though, that I don't know as much as the chef?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, because that's what this gentleman just said.
Well, brother, that's... Boy, that stinks.
All right, Michael, thanks very much for your call. 877, and thank you for the information, sir. I appreciate that very much. 877-876-PHIL. Doesn't that go to show you what a citizen can do?
No, forget about him. You're telling me that a cook, some guy that's flipping fries, some guy making hash browns and draining the oil off of it before he slaps it on a paper plate and it oozes on through. I know all about it. I eat breakfast 3 mornings a week over here at a place that used to be called Sambo's. Now it's a Denny's. Very good. What's that?
That's music. We're all done.
Why, you rot... Are you gonna get... So, in other words, I get locked out. A chef makes me look like I'm wearing a pointed hat facing the corner.
Pretty much, yeah. And I still don't know, other than what that gentleman said, why people think he was innocent. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'll give you 10 reasons.